Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me tonight on the Vigilance Press podcast. We are recording a intermission of sorts for the Beacon City game. We're actually going to be bumping that one because we had some scheduling conflicts for tonight's game. So instead of having a full-on game to introduce everybody, I'm going to introduce one of the new players for the Beacon City campaign, and that's Tali Gibson. Tali, how are you doing tonight?
Doing very well. How are you?
Oh, very well, very well. Tali is a moderator at the Inferno.net website, and that's Inferno missing the E, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, he's going to talk to us a little bit tonight about what features Inferno.net offers and for both users and for people selling, like myself. We're also going to be talking to an artist who's going to be working on a bunch of our stuff coming up. This is his second appearance on the Vigilance Press podcast, Alex Williamson.
Hello.
Hey, Alex. Let's hopefully keep you here for the whole show, right?
I am keeping my fingers crossed. The weather looks good outside, so hopefully no interference.
Yeah, I think it was the thunderstorms rolling between us or something. It hit a server somewhere between us last night. But hopefully we can keep you going for the full show. Alex just dumped a whole bunch more artwork into my inbox before joining us. So I'm going to post that. It's works in progress, but it's for an upcoming project that I'll talk a little bit about later. But before that, let me get back to Tali. And Tali, tell us, how do you describe Inferno.net to somebody who's never used it?
Well, basically what it is it's two things, essentially. It's a virtual game table where you can come on and play basically any kind of role-playing game that you're interested in. Using this table, it has lots of very simple tools, and it's all browser-based, so you don't have to worry about connecting to ports or anything like that. Basically, you just go to the game table, go right in, and you're able to start rolling and chatting with your friends. Secondly, the other main thing about the site is that it's basically like a Facebook, but for role-players. So it's a really good social networking area where you can set up a profile for yourself, you can set up your character sheets, you can do blogs within the voice of your characters that are linked specifically to your characters, you can get in, talk to people on the chat rooms, connect, make friends, and join in lots of cool, interesting role-playing games.
Yeah, it's actually a very interesting group of people. One of the things I noticed when I jumped on was you have over 7,000 users now, is that right?
Yeah, and it's growing all the time. Right now you can get in and you can use the virtual game table. You can make characters, you can make lots of friends. All this stuff is free for everybody. Now we do have a small membership kind of program for some special perks, which include things like making badges and achievements for your players, for your games, for your GMs even, if you want to award them, things of that nature. Other little special perks like getting more of a vote on new additions to the website that we'll bring. Also, you get kind of like first chance to get in on signing up on special events. Sometimes we have different publishers come on and do kind of like a beta test of their game before it comes out, or maybe even a launch day one-shot, kind of extravaganza where they'll have like four or five GMs come on and showcase the game for people. Of course, those people would get kind of like first chance to get in on those, but everybody's more than welcome to get in there and play those for free as well. So it's a really cool thing. And even if you don't get in and start playing right away, there's a very vibrant chat room and forum where you can get in and, start making those connections with people that have those same kind of, interests that you have.
Cool, cool. Alex, when was the last time you actually got to sit down at a tabletop and play? I think we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago.
Last time I played a role-playing game was many, 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 many moons ago. Last time I actually got to play a character instead of GMing was even longer than that. I was typically the GM guy, and I just told, you know, the best stories, and also being an artist, I had some kind of unfair advantages. I would actually draw the scene for my players, and you know, they would actually get a chance to, like, go, oh, so that's the relation that we have to this character, and that's where that wall is, and so I'm going to use, oh, I see those pipes off in the distance, I'm going to use those, and, it, you know, whatever. So it was kind of neat, but, man, years ago, here's the funny bit. Ever since starting a chat with you, I actually leaned my whole little group, because we still get together and play some war games, tabletop mm-hmm. war games. But one of the guys was talking about starting a role-playing game, and originally we were going to use the hero system, you know, Champions, which I'm very used to. That was the last superhero system I was using. But since chatting with you and listening to some of your podcasts, I told the guy who's thinking about GMing this, go look at Mutants and Masterminds and give that a shot. And I also told him to listen to this podcast because you actually have some beautiful examples of gameplay.
Oh, and, thank you very much. I wasn't fishing for compliments, I swear.
I mean, because you didn't know this. You didn't know that, you know, I had this little thing going. But, you know, the fact is, I've actually been using your podcast as a great example of why Mutants and Masterminds is actually going to trump the hero system, which, I mean, no offense to the hero system. I still love it to death. It's still my go-to system for, like, hard sci-fi stuff, but... Yeah, I think for superheroes, M&M just seems to work well. So, yeah, that's coming up soon, man. It's going
to
be
interesting. Good to hear it. One of the things that clicked with me for Inferno was simply the opportunity to join with other players that, you know, had the same level of enthusiasm or the same, you know, kind of experience that I did. Give me an opportunity to try and be a player more often. You were talking about being a GM all the time. That was my disease. It still is to some degree.
Yeah. I fall into that disease as well myself here lately.
But so I'm definitely going to be tuning into Inferno, looking for some more one shots where I can try and be a player. But it was interesting to me. I was really impressed with how quickly I was able to pull a group together to do a one shot demo game. My enthusiasm was so high, I tried to set them up as like a permanent group almost immediately, but we've just been so busy trying to get some stuff done for convention season for Vigilance that I haven't had time to really get back together with those guys, but I do want to game with them again. It was a lot of fun. And Tali was in that group, obviously, so that's how I met Tali. Tali, tell us a little bit about how long you've been in gaming and you know, kind of how you started gaming. I mean, Inferno was really important to you as actually getting into the hobby, wasn't it?
Absolutely. More than getting into the hobby, it became like the linchpin for making it actually a reality for me. I'd been interested in role playing systems ever since I was a you know, early teenager, and before that had been deeply into superheroes since about the age of 3 or 4. When I was about 4, a friend of my father gave me a huge collection of comic books, and I was, you know, instantly in love with the whole ideal of the fabulous world of superheroes, and, you know, really never looked back from there. Spent most of my weekends scavenging yard sales and swap meets to get more comic books, and built up a vast collection of that. When I was probably about 13, I played D&D for the first time with two friends who then ended up moving away about 6 months later to Alaska. So that was my first little taste of role-playing games, which I really loved it. I believe that was like first or second edition D&D that we were playing, the really basic stuff. And then I would go and I would buy comic books at the comic book store, and I would see all the different role-playing games, you know, there. But I had no other friends around me that would play that sort of thing, that were even interested in the comic books, much less role-playing games. So most of my friends were really interested in music, things of that nature, even at that age, and that was our main connection. They thought all my comic book stuff was really dorky, which, of course, I didn't care, because I still loved it. And so, you know, I followed my passions, but it led me to a comic book store and many walls of games that I knew no one would ever play with me, but I would buy them anyway. So I would buy, I bought the TSR Marvel role-playing system and quite a few of the offshoot boxes from that. And I would sit there and I would read the books, really not really understanding the you know, truly how to play the game, but just being, you know, really fascinated with the stats of all the different characters and in my mind kind of pairing them off, like this person would beat up this person because of their stats and, you know, just always really wanted to do it. And then fast forward to about 2 years ago when I got introduced to a bunch of people playing an online superhero MMO. We were in a league. The game we all kind of decided wasn't that exciting, but we liked each other much more than we liked the game. So we stayed together, kept talking about video games.
Now, just a little name dropping here. You actually were gaming with Jason Tondreau at that time, right? You're all playing the same game?
Yeah, yeah. When we very first started our league together, Jason was one of the very first members to join. And, you know, I think he was drawn to the fact that we were all really passionate about superheroes and the mythos and stuff. And but like we did, although I think it took us a little bit longer, I think Jason tired of the actual game a little quicker than we did. We stuck in the game a little bit longer, but our friendships really grew really strong. We ended up talking about role-playing games. I mentioned that I had never actually got to play one up until this point, like truly other than, you know, Dungeons & Dragons, like for one summer. And so they put together a superhero game. We played that, and the GM kind of fell out about halfway through. I guess he lost interest. So my passion was ignited at that point. I was really ready to play. And so I started going out and looking for other options. Where I live in a very small town in Arkansas. And our local comic book shop actually closed up about 6 months ago. And we've never had a local game store that I know of for the entire time that I've lived in here. The closest local game store is an hour and 20-minute drive from where I'm at. So that's, you know, almost a good 3 hours to go there and back. So it wasn't very convenient for me to be able to schedule that with work and everything else. So I started listening to a lot of podcasts about role-playing. I happened upon the Vigilance Press podcast. I also happened upon some stuff that was talking about Gen Con, which they happened to mention the website Inferno.net, which is INFRNO.net. And I went there and started looking around, and I found this really cool place where people were talking about, you know, superhero games as well as Pathfinder and, you know, World of Darkness and Shadowrun and all these different things. Things that I knew about but it hadn't really played, and I got really excited, joined a game, met a bunch of really cool people, and just really haven't looked back from there. Started out as a player, started running games of my own, you know, and I just started there as just a person that went to the site and started looking around. And this is, you know, a couple of years after they've already been established and doing cons and everything. And but I guess just my enthusiasm and the fact that I was there a lot and, you know, I was so engaged with the community and stuff, they decided to go ahead and make me a moderator. And so kind of worked my way up through that. And, you know, I kind of handle a lot of the social aspects of the site there and try to, you know, be informative for people that come and ask questions. And, you know, I'm definitely the one that's guilty of sitting around in the chat room and then people will ask, hey, can you do a one shot of such and such? And then, you know, I'll scratch my head and sit down for an hour and write something out, and then we're all playing a game, you know. So
one thing that I have been hearing, and this is something that goes back about 5 years that I really started noticing this, it's, to me, I think the virtual tabletop is really going to be a kind of a linchpin of the future of role-playing games. This may be just, you know, me floating ideas that aren't necessarily true, but this is just kind of how I see it. I see so many people with the common complaint of, you know, I want to game, but there's no one in my area. And I've had people who have asked to join the podcast games, and I have to be very selective of who I invite on and how our schedules meet up and stuff, and I can't just randomly pick people, as much as I'd like to meet people and talk to people. But a forum like Inferno.net gives everybody a chance to kind of get together and meet people with similar interests. And there's a couple of other virtual tabletops that are out there right now, and I'm going to try and bring on some more of those folks as well to talk about the different offerings that they have. But one of the things that I think in general a tabletop like that, a virtual tabletop, offers is an opportunity to network with other people. And
absolutely. And real quick, that's one thing that we really push at our website. In fact, we welcome people to come to our forums just to find players to maybe even take somewhere else, because for us it's all about the joy of role playing and pushing the hobby and making sure that it's vibrant and alive. So the fact that somebody is going to actually play their group, in a Google Plus room, that's fine with us. We have no problem with that at all. If they want to go to another table after meeting a group here, that's fine. The table is definitely important for our site, but for us, the real thing is about making it available for these gamers to get together and really connect,
Now, a couple of the features that you have that I thought that kind of jumped out at me as being really useful. One was the calendar of events where you can, you can post your game, you can schedule a game and leave it open for other people to join, and everybody can see it on the calendar and they can kind of select, a game that fits their interests that way. And meet Absolutely. New people, especially one-shots. Some people seem to be doing a lot of one-shots to kind of meet people and decide if they want to try and make them part of another group, which is a great way to get to know people and to kind of shop around for group, for players that match your play style, which is really important. One of the other things, as a publisher, one of the things I really liked about Inferno is you guys are actually networked with RPG Now, which is where I publish a lot of my all of our material right now through, and that's a really good hand. I mean, if you go to Vigilance, if you look on their Inferno site, they have a listing of all the publishers at RPG Now, and you can actually find the Vigilance Press publisher, and that'll list all of our products right there. And now you tell me that there's a way that they've just introduced to link those products to like a demo game table. If I wanted to create a table, I could link it to a product so people could try it out, play it with me, and then go buy it.
Yeah, and anything that's on DriveThruRPG or RPG Now can be linked to a character sheet. It can be linked to a game page. So if you are a user and you're uploading your character, if you want to, you can always add the product that goes along with that, be it the core book, or if you're taking a copyrighted character specifically out of a book, say, for instance, the DC Adventures Heroes and Villains Volume 1, you could actually link the link to that book. So if people look at your character and go, oh, that's really cool, they can just hit that and go straight to the thing. Same thing, like, say, for instance, maybe they're somebody's using Smoke and Mirrors. They could put that Deadly Duo thing there, and as soon as they see that, they like it, they can click it and go straight to your product. Also, as a game master, you can do the same thing. If you're using, say, for instance, a module that's available, maybe something you didn't write yourself, you're using an actual published module, you can link that in there as well as the core book. And it makes it easier so that if you have a player that's interested in the game, but maybe they don't have that book, they can just look at the game's page, go, oh, wow, that sounds really cool, and then they've instantly got a link there to go to the product and buy it. So
that's great.
That's really
neat idea.
Sorry, Alex, go ahead. No, I didn't mean to.
I'm sorry. That's a really neat idea, because I'm just thinking, like, you have Do Vigilance 6-Gun coming out. And so if you actually run a game where you pit the players up against the 6-Gun characters, you can have a link directly to that same product. So it's the most awesome way to promote your particular supplement, and also gives people a taste of, like, you know, how awesome those characters are, and they obviously would want to use them in their own games if they actually just, you know, play in yours. So that's just a great idea. That's great for marketing.
Well, yeah, you know, the coolest thing about the idea is it actually came from the community, which is really important, because we have a suggestions area and also a wish list. So we're constantly taking these suggestions from our community and adding new features. And that's one of those kind of perks that I was talking about with, like, the membership, is you'll actually get more votes in on what you want to be, you know, implemented first. Because we're constantly adding more stuff to try to improve the experience for people. So
that's very cool. That's very cool. I'm still kind of thumbs when it comes to making game tables and stuff. But, you know, Tali's been very helpful and helped me set up a game table for my demo game. Hopefully I can hornswoggle you into doing that again. But the really cool thing is just being able to meet people, network, and you know, get interested in find other players in a friendly, open environment where everybody gets a chance to kind of talk and chat and meet each other, and that's something that's important for gamers, because it's such a social hobby, and we fall into different types of players very quickly. It's very important to kind of find a group that meets your needs and your interests as a player. So that,
sure.
And I love the fact that there are so many different gaming groups already represented. I mean, I was just, you know, flipping through some of the games that people are playing. You've got Pathfinder, you've got World of Darkness, you've got DC Adventures, Mutants and Masterminds, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So,
you know, people play Fate on there. They play, I mean, really Cortex system stuff, everything. I've seen everything from people playing it came from the Late Late Show, you know, all the way up to, you know, modified version, like homebrew systems and stuff like that. I mean, there's really a plethora of stuff. If you're into role playing and you're as excited about the possibility of all these different games as I am, once you stumble onto something like that, you know, I'm pretty confident that you'll be really happy, you know.
Yeah, I think people will get a kick out of it. Now, speaking of Six Gun and some other products that we have going up, Alex Williamson was on the show last night, or not last night. It was Wednesday, right? Yeah, we were talking about Six Gun and some of the artwork he's doing, but he just dropped off a whole batch of artwork for a project that Jack and I have been cooking for a while, and it's still on a slow burn, but we're going to roll out pretty soon a PDF that will be actually free to download, and it'll be a promotional thing, but it's going to be a group of heroes that will later be used as part of our larger project as a sample team that the players can opt to use. But we wanted to go ahead and get them out there. So it's sort of the Vigilance Press flagship team, I guess. We're going to call them the Challengers, and they're going to be the Beacon City Challengers for players to take a look at, and there will be about 8 characters total. And I think you turned in. Did you turn in all 8 already? Or
the only one that's still some work is Rockhound, which I need your input on for her costume. So her costume is actually penciled in, but the dog is all drawn up, and you wanted him looking more like stone, and so I just inked him like with a more of a hatchy style, but all the rest of them, yeah, they're done. So 7 out of 8.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go ahead and post that Rockhound, the work in progress sketch, so people can kind of see the progress there. I really like the look of the character so far. The group is written by Jack Norris with some heavy over the shoulder backseat driving by me. By myself. Jack Norris created most of the characters. Rockhound was 100% him, although I was the one who suggested it should be a Mastiff, the dog that she has, just because I have a thing for Mastiffs. But the characters that I kind of helped drive were, I think, Viridian, who's actually my player character. So that's my little excuse to get my character drawn by different professionals.
But, you sneaky bastard.
Yeah, well, you know.
I was wondering about that because you already have this nice version of Viridian already drawn and colored. Mm-hmm.
And that one is actually that one was inked and colored by Jesse Justice, the one that you're referencing.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah, and you know, he's the guy who did the logos for us for Due Vigilance and Devilish Duos, and he's doing the artwork for our Forgotten Five supplement, which was written by Jason Tondro. But he's really good at jumping into this kind of Jack Kirby look for his inking. I mean, his crazy mechanical supercomputer stuff, like one of the characters from the Forgotten Five is Tom Thumb, and he's this miniature guy with this super technology vehicle that it's just crazy when you guys see the final artwork. I mean, I've shown the picture of Tom Thumb on his little throne, kind of doing his mastermind pose. But and that, just you can see all the circles and squares and random squiggles that look so awesome when put together in a Kirby style. But so you guys will get that you know, once Jesse finishes rolling out all that artwork, we'll have that go to the layout. But I think right now, in the order of events, we can expect to see Homefront Villains and Black Chapter, and probably Six Gun coming after that, depending on the rate at which the artwork gets finished for that. We also have we're going to be doing the Watchguard Icons book, and I've already released that. This is a kind of a side note, because we did one piece of artwork for that, and that was me and Jesse Justice teamed up for that. He did the artwork and I did the colors, and then that was for a character called Hard Knox. And then we're going to be publishing the Icons version of that. It's already been published in Mutants and Masterminds, and we're going to be the original plan was to kind of break it up into chunks, but we've decided to go ahead and do the entire book as one sitting for the rest of it. So whoever purchased the Team Force 5 book will be getting a significant discount on the final PDF. I won't make any specific announcements on that, but I'm sure that anyone who bought the Team Force 5 book will be very happy when the PDF for the full book comes out, which will also include the Team Force 5 characters in it. But you guys are basically getting a preview of what the full layout will be. And that will be hopefully before Christmas. I'm looking at that one. We're going to do a print on demand on that one for people who want a physical copy. So you can have a copy of the Icons book and the Mutants and Masterminds version of it side by side. And we'll have all the most recent updates that Charlie's putting together for the hardcover. So that's Charlie McKelvey's book. But anyway, the challengers, the Beacon City characters, are actually these guys are crazy. You've got Titan, who's one of my favorites. He's actually got dwarfism. So if you guys remember Puck from Alpha Flight, one of my favorite characters from that series. Did you ever read Alpha Flight, Alex?
Are you kidding? If John Byrne wrote it, I read it.
Okay.
Especially if he drew.
Hello.
Yeah, I read it. So I'm kind of a John Byrne nut.
Yeah,
I was too. Fantastic Four John Byrne, I was there all the way.
Well, yeah, Hulk John Byrne, the best Hulk I've ever seen. I tried
X-Men.
To draw something like he drew it. You know, I got in late on the whole X-Men thing. I started collecting X-Men when Romita Jr. was drawing it, and so I was there for the Claremont Romita days, but I haven't gone back and got the Byrne title. Well, whatever. Anyway, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Hi, how are you?
So that's Titan and his special powers. He's actually got the growth power. So, and we've actually kind of teased him out early. If anybody picked up the Valentine's Day special we did, Strange Attractors. And one of the examples of how to use the romance rules, we mentioned Titan in there, and Jack was kind of just teasing out this idea of the kaiju cultists. And we just said, you know, I was looking at this and I'm like going, you know, he's got to have a favorite enemy for the kaiju now. So we've got some cool stuff coming up for that. But Titan will be fun. I love the artwork for him. He's a very young, vibrant character.
Yeah, gives off a lot of personality.
Yeah. Rockhound is one of my favorites. We've got Masquerade, who just looks fantastic. He's got that Batman flair. He's a very spooky kind of Moon Knight like character with a theatrical theme. Our heroic firefighter type character Safeguard, who's kind of our Iron Man, but with a rescue ranger kind of vibe. His suit is designed as a rescue tool as opposed to a combat suit. And then you've got Dreamweaver, who is one of my characters from ages gone, and has gone through many iterations since I originally designed the character in high school. But I, you know, she's never looked better than when Alex, you know, did this. I love the way that the face and the mask kind of meld there. It was perfect. And of course, Bounce was fun, and I love the artwork for Bounce. He's one of these characters that just so much comes to life when you see it. He's very much like a Spider-Man type character. He's very dynamic and energetic, and you know, I kind of picture him in all those crazy kind of crouched or you know, squatting, leaning over precariously the edge of a building or something. Very much like Spider-Man. And I think people will like him. He's a lot of fun. And Apex, we've actually used the name Apex in Usher supplements before, Vigilance Press. But this is a new character who's using the name, so he's sort of a legacy character. And he's actually sort of our Wolverine. But the key to his character for Jack was making sure that the character didn't have that loner, angry edge to him, but he was more of a pack animal. So he's actually you know, he's got the powers of various apex predators, but one of them being the wolf, he's very much a social creature. So he actually is trying to work with other characters, and he's more of a team player. And then of course Viridian, which was again my character. So I've had the opportunity to have that character. So if you ever want to have like lots of really cool pictures of your character, start your own publishing company. That's pretty much the.
I've got a backlog. I guess I need to get started on that because I would like some pictures.
Hey, I am an art whore. I work for anyone.
Yes. Oh, by the way, Alex Williamson's artwork is definitely worth spending money on. I swear. If anybody out there is looking for someone to do, you know, some artwork of your characters, I couldn't ask for someone who wasn't faster and as easy to work with as Alex. So you guys definitely check out his website. He's got his webcomic. I keep saying it wrong, so I'll let you say it.
It's brassfalcon.com, BrassFalcon.com. And I've also got my regular art site, which is HadesIllustrations.com. And that's just, man, I really need to start updating that. I update my Atomic Think Tank, you know, a little art blog more often than I update my own website, which is completely stupid. But I'll start doing that. In fact, my girlfriend was just kind of giving me guff about that, but she also said, you know what, the podcast you just did, you should have a little art podcast. And it hit me like, you know what? I'd love to show people videos of me actually drawing, because like you said, I do stuff fast. I get the pencils done ridiculously quick. It's something that's watchable. It's not like, you know, it's going to take like an hour or whatever. So I've got ideas, man. But in the meantime, a lot of
my artist friends are doing video blogs of themselves doing artwork, and I highly recommend it. I mean, it's something that I need to get into, but my process is so kind of fits and starts that it's hard for me to imagine somebody wanting to watch me do it. Because like I'll get a whole character sketched out and then erase it and start over. I'm very kind of, you know, I'll get to a point where something stops talking to me and I'll just abandon it and try something else. One of my friends, Robert De Jesus, who people who are anime fans will probably know the name. He's done artwork in like PlayStation Magazine, and he did a couple of children's books, I believe. One Spidey, I think it was Spider-Man meeting firefighters, children's book that was just priceless. I mean, it's hilarious. But if you knew some of the other stuff that Robert's done in the past, you might be a little, you know, quirking your eye at the irony of him doing a children's book. But he's actually a really talented and skilled artist, really nice guy. I believe he's going to be hanging out with us in the Anime Artist Alley at Gen Con coming up. So not at our table, but in the same alley. So I'll be looking forward to seeing him again there. But, you know, Alex, I would really love to get you to join us at Gen Con or one of the conventions coming up. We really need to meet up. Are you going to be at Baltimore?
I'm actually, you'd asked me about that and, prior, and I've actually managed to, finagle my schedule so that, yeah, I think I'm going to go to Baltimore Comic Con for sure.
Have you got a table?
I don't know if I'm going to get a table. If anything, I'll just kind of, you know, hang out and walk around. I've never been to, the Comic Con at Baltimore. I've been to Baltimore a couple times. Actually, I went there for Games Workshop's Games Day. And I like going just for, you know, kicks. And in fact,
I will totally make room for you at my table. Seriously. You bring your drawing stuff if you want.
Well, alrighty. Seriously, I'm in, because really I wanted to meet you and see these other guys that that you're actually palling around with as well. And
Christopher McLaughlin usually shows up, so hopefully we can introduce you guys across. But I believe Jesse Justice is going to be joining us again this year, so I need to double check with him. But we'll be sitting next to Charlie McKelvey, who does the WatchGuard book. He's got a table, and I believe we requested to have our seats next to each other, so hopefully we'll be right next to him. There's lots of us there. It's a great show. It's only 2 days, but it's a great show.
Was it just a Saturday, Sunday, or Friday, Saturday?
I believe it's Saturday, Sunday. I need to double check it. But
you going to New York Comic Con or no?
It's a bit far for me. Driving from Georgia, and driving in New York scares the hell out of me. So
it absolutely. I'm from New York, and it scares the hell out of me.
The scariest time I've ever had in my life driving, I was passing through Jersey, and I was, the worst part is I was on my 13th hour of driving that day. So, I hit New Jersey and got, you know, it was like rush hour through the tunnel, and people are driving like 60 miles an hour through this tunnel with no space between the cars. And I watched a car ahead of me change lanes and a taillight shatter. I could see the flash of light and the piece of glass fly up in the air, and nobody even tapped on their brakes. And all I could think of was, just get me out of here without an accident, please.
What's up?
So, you know, that's kind of, you know, I if I ever go to New York, I'm definitely flying, and I'm definitely going to be taking a cab.
Yeah, it's very nice. I live in upstate New York now, and, when I go down to New York Comic Con, last time I just took the train down, and it was nice and comfortable, and I got to draw on the way down and got my head in the game and, you know, went on out and had a great time. Met a bunch of really, really cool guys that gave me some fantastic reviews on my art. So, getting critiques from the guys that you grew up, like, you know, admiring. Rick Leonardi, Alex Saviuk. Remember Alex Saviuk? He worked on Web of Spider-Man for years.
Oh, yeah.
And he actually, I was wondering what he'd been up to. Turns out he's actually drawing the comic strip for Spider-Man that appears in newspapers. And on Sundays, his pencils were getting inked by none other than Joe Sinnott. The inker from Kirby, man. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. So, I mean, I got to chat with Alex Saviuk, and he said he was looking at my work, and I was actually just so amazed that he's like, I'm going to remember your name because you have promise. I'm like, I just got kudos from Alex Saviuk. Tom, this thing. So Tom's like, you need to work on this and this, and then you're in. And so I was just pleased as punch. But, you know, at the time, I still had stuff to work on. And in the last year, I've worked on those things. So hopefully after October, I'm going to try for one of the majors again. So, you know, you never know. Doesn't mean I'm going to stop doing RPG stuff because I just love this. It's so fun. I mean, you know, getting to draw new stuff, you get to do that in, like, regular comic books. You know, comics, they give you a script, you draw what's in the script.
Yeah. So, Tali, have I put you to sleep yet?
Oh, no, no.
I wanted to kind of segue back into the discussion on the virtual tabletops because you mentioned that we started talking about conventions and getting to meet people. One of the things I missed out on the convention at Inferno.net, but one of the things I've been seeing pop up lately are virtual conventions. And I'm actually slated to be in one at Roll20.net. You guys have one over in Inferno too. What do you call your convention?
It's InfernoCon, and mm-hmm. we're up to number 7 actually, which is coming up on the 28th of July. So that's on a Saturday. It's coming up here at the end of the month.
My birthday.
Oh, very cool. Well, you should come and be in my one shot and try to be the greatest Batman of the multiverse for your birthday. But
that would be fun.
Yeah, there's basically the idea behind InfernoCon is it's kind of a quarterly thing that we do. Here recently, we've kind of started doing them a little bit more than quarterly. The 7th one isn't quite 3 months away from the last one that we did. But it's a really cool way for people to come and try, you know, different systems, different games, play with different people that they maybe normally wouldn't, because it's a whole day of one-shots. There's two main time slots, and people, you know, sign up as GMs to run a specific game. And usually these games are a little bit outside the norm of what is usually, you know, run as the campaigns. They'll have some sort of gimmick, or it's based on some sort of property that's, you know, a little outside of the norm. So, but they're always really cool, very inventive. And right now, at the moment, people were able to start signing up as GMs on the 13th. No, I guess about on the 2nd, actually. But players can start to sign up for the games on the 20th. So, you know, you got plenty of time to see what pops up in the game lineup still, and you know, maybe get in there, and that'll be a great opportunity to try to try out the site. But you know, definitely feel free, everybody out there, to come by and check us out before then. Like I said, there's constantly people throwing one shots, you know, and if nothing else, maybe just get in there and kind of chat with people, and it's just fun to, you know, finally have a place to be able to talk about all the games that you play and, you know, the ideals that you have. And there's lots of brainstorming between people. Players also take a lot of initiative to do things. Like one of our GMs that plays there a lot by the name of Mike Athey has grouped together a bunch of GMs, and they actually do what they call GM school. So they put that on, you know, once every few months, where they bring, you know, people that run a lot of games together, and they kind of do like a roundtable discussion with anybody that is interested, and give them tips on, you know, ways to improve their games, to deal with different problems that stem up. You know, it's a really great community. It's something I'm really proud to be a part of, for sure.
That's cool. That's cool. That's some cool stuff. Some nice assets for people to take home with them. But one of the things I was curious about is, part of the convention community or the convention experience that I really enjoyed was kind of browsing around, and you get to see all these different you know, activities going on at once. Do you guys have plans for anything like an artist alley or something similar to that in any of your upcoming virtual cons, or is that something you guys might take into account for a future idea?
Well, at the moment, the closest to that would be, you know, be the fact that the actual products are linked to the one shot. So if somebody mm-hmm. comes on to play, if there's anything that's used from those, they're able to to go right to that and support those people. Now, as far as an artist alley, that's a very interesting idea, and that's definitely something that I'll pass up to the higher ups, and hopefully we'll see it on the ballot soon to get something like that moved forward with the community. Again, that's you know, any kind of ideals that come forward, we're happy to have them. You know, it only makes our community stronger. So that sounds like a really cool idea. I'll definitely put it forward.
Cool. One of the things that I've essentially kind of launched me into what I'm doing now was the chance to get to meet the people who are the actual creators of the game. Now, I got a chance to meet several of them via the podcast interviews that I did beforehand, being able to meet people in person like Steve Kenson and John Lighthouser and Jack Norris especially and actually sit down and discuss ideas and projects and come up with things that are real is a fun thing to do, and it's an opportunity I think that that kind of makes that convention atmosphere special. So I think
absolutely,
yeah, trying to bring in those people is a really good ambition.
Well, now that is one thing that we have done to touch on that is that we have, you know, made some relationships with different publishers and things of that nature, even sometimes just on a smaller personal side, kind of like how we met and stuff. But there's definitely been things where we've had events, like I was talking about earlier, where a company will maybe on launch day do like an example play for people to showcase their system for people on the day that it's launched, to get people interested in that game to go out and try it. So there's definitely examples of that, and we try to have as many of those events as possible. But again, that a lot of that is reaching out and you know, working together with those other people. So
cool. Well, we'll look forward to seeing more from Inferno going forward. And I'm going to check my time clock here. It looks like I've been hitting the 45-minute mark. One thing I did want to bring up with Alex before I let you go, I think you barely touched on it last time, but you've been working on some stuff for BattleTech, and they just released a new product that you'd done some artwork for?
It was a campaign supplement called Total Chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it like retells the story of an old campaign supplement they had, and from what I understand, it's actually pretty fascinating. For, you know, at least for BattleTech players, obviously, if you're new to the game, BattleTech's a war game. It's not a role playing game, but it basically sets up a whole series of scenarios. And I got to do some pretty fun artwork. It was all very, you know, kind of short notice and quick because there was some problem with the art director not actually getting the information that they needed artwork for the book. And so he basically sent me an email and said, hey, can you get this done in like 6 days? And I'm like, yeah, sure. It's 3 full page pieces. And I was just kind of weird. I Googled myself today. I haven't done this in a long time. I just wanted to see like what popped up. And all of a sudden I see like artwork that I thought I wasn't allowed to show anybody. So it turns out the book is out, and I guess I can start posting that stuff as well. But they were really fun, these 3 pieces. They were full-page shots, not like little tiny filler art, full 8.5 by 11s. And the one scene was just a lot of fun to draw because they had me drawing, instead of just big mechs, they had me drawing a tank and a helicopter and a giant base and a huge satellite dish thing, and then also a mech in the background, but the tank is what I really had a lot of fun doing. So yeah, it's BattleTech Total Chaos, and I think that's actually out in stores, if not like on shelves, at least available for PDF purchase. And and then there's also a couple other things from basically every new BattleTech that's coming a BattleTech book that's coming out, I've got some hand in. And there was a Horizon campaign for Shadowrun that just came out, too, that I've actually got some artwork in. So Catalyst Game Labs was my first foray into drawing for the gaming industry, and I'm very happy to say Vigilance Press is the second company that I'm working for. And I have fun working for both, but obviously the stuff I've been doing for James here has been just so, like I don't know, quick fun, you know? It's almost like instant gratification.
I just have to say, I'm just curious real quick, whose dog is that?
Oh, you're lapping up. Huh? That's that is mine. His name is Brennan. He is an 8-year-old border collie who is completely nuts and only has, like, partial use of his back legs, but that does not stop this dog. I love him to death because he is the most positive dog I have ever met in my entire life. Earlier today, he was chewing on branches because a tree fell down in our backyard, and he's helping us strip the tree of all of its small leaves.
Fantastic.
He's got a lot of status.
What's his name again?
Brennan. We've got Brennan and Sam. Sam is also a border collie who is ridiculously calm. Brennan is ridiculously insane. So... the two of them are exact opposites, polar opposites. It's
balance
really
each other out.
Yeah, it's like the Odd Couple. It really is, but with black and white dogs.
Fantastic. So yeah, we've got we've been and again, I will be posting the artwork for the challengers up in a hopefully by the end of tonight. I've already uploaded it. It's just a matter of quickly designing the page and with the website that Jack Berberetti helped me put together. It's very easy to do that. So fortunately we'll be easily able to show off some of that artwork, and then once we get closer to the actual publication, I'll start showing off the colors of those characters. But we've got some of it's inked.
Who's coloring these, by the way?
I don't want to say absolutely, but I think that one's going to be me. Just because it's going to be a free release, so the less money I have to spend on it, the better. But we'll have to see how time comes together on that one, since if I have to get somebody else to work on that. But I think that one's going to be me.
Okay. So yeah, the reason I was curious was I know Dan Hauser's working on the meta stuff. He's going to be coloring that. Mm-hmm. Yad coloring the six gun stuff, mm-hmm. and then we're coloring the challengers. I mentioned the last time I was on. It's always a treat for me to see my stuff colored because I usually don't do that myself. I can, but I don't like it. I like my pens. I like my pencils. That's my wheelhouse. So.
What's interesting to me is, I've spoken to a lot of professional artists over the years, and I was sitting down with Tim Story, who's worked with on Tom Strong and a number of other high profile comic books. I'm sorry, Carl Story. I don't know why I said Tim. Carl Story, and nice guy, and very, very technically apt. He's a very technical artist from what I've seen, but one of the things that he mentioned that I've kind of adopted as a truism is that it's very rare that you find one single artist who excels at all the steps when you're looking at artwork in that fashion. When you look at penciling, inking, and coloring, you get people who can do everything, but usually they excel in one of the steps.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so, it's so much fun for me as a publisher trying to put all these different artists together and see how, their work comes together and see how it the quality will differ. Not as in good, bad quality, but it just has its own unique character to it. Like, when Dan and I work together, if I do the pencils and Dan does the inking and colors, it has a very different look than when I do my own stuff by myself. And the same goes for when, I do the pencils and then someone like, Jesse Justice will ink and color it or something else. So it's a blast, that part of my job, being able to work with all these different artists and kind of see all the different permutations of how these people can work together. So I'm always trying, different matchups to see, which ones work best for a given project. So one of the interesting things going forward is that the creation of the art and then the production lag. There's definitely a production lag. I think anyone who knows how publication works knows that There is a certain lag between the beginning of a project and the time it gets done, and that time frame varies based on how much work has to be done and who's doing the work, and if somebody gets sick or something gets delayed or whatnot, or if, you know, there's some a glitch in a file somewhere. But you know, so I'm seeing some of the artwork that we're coming out with in some of our publications now that originally got turned in months ago. Like Dan's work on the Field Guide to Superheroes Volume 4, which should be out soon. I'm actually going to be checking my mailbox again tonight to double check and make sure that see if that book came in, the second proof. You know, just that time frame that I've been working with other artists in the meantime and combining other artists together, you know, it's like the look of products are going to change and evolve and be more refined as I you know, find the right people for the right tasks. And, you know, I've got a whole bunch of new artists that I can't wait to show people. And I've been showing some of the individual pieces of artwork, but I've got three lovely ladies working on our Arthur Lives stuff. I've got Hannah Friedrichs, and I've got if anyone has seen that wonderful cartoon of the Avengers done up like Where the Wild Things Are, that's Hannah. And and I've got Susan Meyer and Denise Jones. And Denise Jones did the cover for our soon-to-be-released Homefront Villains book, which is part of our Amazing Stories of World War II. And that one just looks fantastic. It's just amazing. So really proud of that one from Denise Jones. Really, that one's coming up very soon. That's one of the two books. Either that one or Field Guide. I'm not sure which one will wind up coming out first, but and that's kind of a weird position to be in, but it's like I've got this stuff all cooking at the same time. But watching the production improve with each individual product that we do, and seeing, you know, more cohesion with the artwork as we go forward is just a real treat for me, because that was, you know, again, that was sort of me raising the bar when I took over Vigilance. I wanted to improve all of these elements and tackle them. And, you know, again, I stepped in and made some changes, and I thought, okay, well, that's that job done, but it's an evolution. So we're constantly seeing newer and better stuff coming out. So it's like, you know, I mean, you know, Ruben did a fantastic logo for the Amazing Stories line. So that's going to be now our new branding, our new logo for that whole series. And that, I mean, it's just amazing the amount of work these, you know, you guys are putting into it. It makes my job so much easier and makes me look so good.
The goal is to make certain that you know, Vigilance Press actually gets you know, its nice market share, and I'm always of the mind that, you know, I have to churn out the best possible work ever. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's just a single character drawing or doing covers, which, by the way, you know, the cover for Black Chapter is still getting worked on as well. But I figured, you know what, I've got all these character drawings in front of me. Let me get them done, because if I feel like I've actually accomplished something, then I'll be a happier camper when I'm inking this really complex thing that I know is going to give me hand cramps and headaches. So, good headaches, not bad headaches. But, it's the headache of, God, I hope I make this line right, because if I don't, it's going to screw up the entire drawing. That kind of headache. I just want all of this stuff to look as good as it possibly can from me, and I know that you're of the exact same mind. You want your products to look great, and you want to basically provide, you know, your consumers with this, you know, great looking supplement that they're going to be happy to shell out some greenbacks for, and then use happily in their games, tell their buddies, and wind up getting them too. And, you know, I know you got a place like client base right now, but I know it's going to grow.
Yeah, one of the things that before I stop patting myself on the back here, just one last thing. One of the things that the kind of philosophy that drives that whole urge to make everything better is that the idea that I want each of our products to be kind of like somebody's resume. You know, I want, you know, you know, Jack Norris to bring out a Vigilance Press product and say, I worked on this, I wrote this, and somebody to flip through it and go, wow, this is a really good product. You know, I mean, you know, the fact that Jack has worked on things like the Marvel Heroic role-playing game, he worked on the Civil War book, you know, he's worked on a bunch of other high-profile stuff like the DC Adventures, Heroes and Villains books. But, you know, it's really nice to be able to have people like that invested in, you know, in a project that I'm working on. So, but I think we're hitting the hour mark here. So is there anything you guys wanted to name drop or talk about real quick before I let the listeners go on their merry way?
The only thing I want to mention is while we've been chatting, I actually went to Inferno.net. And I'm very curious about it just after hearing Tali talk. I'd never even heard of it until I was, you know, hearing about it on this podcast. And I'm super intrigued. I mean, really, I'll be posting on there shortly. So, yeah, I'm real curious, and I hope other people check it out just from getting on here, too.
Great. Cool. Yeah, I guess the last thing I would say is that if you'd like, James, I can give you a couple links to put up, you know, with the podcast. One just, of course, being the homepage, but then maybe also another one showing one of my game tables so that people can get an idea of what you can actually do with the game table. And you'll actually, anybody that goes to that link will actually be able to go on there, try out the dice roller. You'll be able to see how character sheets can be linked to the game table. It's very neat. So,
yeah, absolutely. One real quick, and this might be too technical, but just a real quick question. This is all browser based, right? Are there any browsers that you recommend people not use, or people that or browsers that you would suggest they stick to?
Well, I'll be real honest with you. I'm an old school Internet Explorer diehard. I'm still using Internet Explorer. So now there are extra features that you can experience with Chrome, I've been told, that you can't do with Internet Explorer. For instance, you can quickly copy and paste an object that's already on the game table with the, you know, the standard control copy, then control V to put it back down. That's something you can do with Chrome, but you can't do with Internet Explorer. So there are little differences between them, but so far as I can tell, they're all operable, but there are little differences between the different browsers.
Okay. Well, thank you again so much. Say hi to Mike Athey for me. It's Athey, right? And
yep.
Alex, thanks again for stopping by, and hopefully next week we'll have the actual Beacon City podcast. Again, we had a kind of a last minute change in schedules that kind of threw everything into disarray. So rather than try and soldier on with just two players, I decided it was the better to give everybody a full team of heroes to listen to. So next time, we're either going to, hopefully we should have four or five players for next time, and we should be bringing back at least three of the originals depending on their schedules. So we're going to definitely try and beef up the team, and the Beacon City heroes should hopefully come up with a name soon for their team. But you can also check out the Beacon City Challengers, which will be posted later tonight, the initial drawings for those characters, and looking forward to getting some feedback on them. And we will be posting, there will be a PDF release that should be released on RPG Now, and I'll let everybody know when that comes out. But it's going to be a free PDF for everybody, so look forward to that. And as far as releases go, hopefully in the next week or so, I shall be making an announcement about Homefront Villains and the Field Guide to Superheroes Volume 4. I do have to say that I apologize for the delays on Field Guide, but we've been going back and forth with the printer on that one. There were some weird glitches with the actual file format, but once we got those set, and there was one piece of artwork which did not print properly. So we had to send do some tweaking on the files and send that back. But the actual book, I've held the proof in my hands, and it looks really good. So I'm really excited. Can't wait to get that out to you people. And that'll be for Icons. Homefront Villains will also be an Icons book. And hopefully we can get everybody on board with those books as soon as possible and move on to the next one, which will be some more Mutants and Masterminds releases. So looking forward to seeing everybody on the next podcast. And thanks again to Tali and Alex for joining me. And until next time, stay vigilant.
Stay vigilant.
Stay vigilant.